Rock and roll football
on Absolute Radio
with Matt Ford and Matt Dyson.
Hello and welcome to the Rock and Roll Football Podcast. Starting to mix up a bit.
Hi there.
Yeah, it sounds like an American daytime TV chat show.
Great idea. You're listening to R&RF on ARFM. That's Rock and Roll Football on Absolute Radio frequency medium wave. This is R&R Soccer on K-Rock 93.8.
Yeah. Thanks, Hank. Thanks, Hank.
That's okay, Chuck. We're by the bay this weekend.
Yeah, the city by the bay.
That city that never sleeps. The Pally Peckers.
We've got into that song by Kiss.
No, it's Starship.
God gave rock and roll
Jefferson
to you.
Starship. Oh,
yeah. Oh, I love that talk.
The city by the bay, the city that never sleeps.
Never sleeps.
We built this city.
Yes.
What a tune.
A mainstay of Absolute Radio.
ARFM. With R&R Soccer.
Yeah, playing all the best AOR hits.
We're with the Pallet Packers this weekend. I don't know where that came from, but I really like it. Is there a team called the Pallet Packers?
I don't know. There must be an American football team.
Yeah.
NFL
Chuck
team,
Mixon signed for the Pallet Packers. They've got a 7-point switcheroo, and they're going to flip it. They're looking to flip it this weekend.
Yes. Wow. It's amazing. There's a hint of, what's his name?
Trump.
There's a slight hint, weirdly, of what's his name? Scottish guy that used to do transfer deadline day on...
Jim White.
Every week, Jim White.
The Pallet Packers.
We've got an exclusive with the Pallet Packers.
We have indeed. They're looking to flip it. As we go towards the Pallet Packers at Ridgeway Park.
Oh, yeah. I miss Jim.
Oh, I miss Jim. We all miss Jim.
He was good fun on the show, wasn't he?
Yeah, we all miss Jim. He's still alive, of course.
He should come back. We should contact him in a séance at some point soon, shouldn't we?
We should.
See how he's getting on.
Him or maybe a current world leader.
Yes. Who knows? Maybe just see if you can work out who it is from the impression. Skip forward.
Yeah. I'm not sure you will be able to figure it out. That's the problem. So I'm kind of leading you towards it. But we do have...
I like being on the ground floor of your impressions. And then, you know, as you work on them, they get better over time, don't they? By the time you're playing the Palladium, Sunak's going to be perfect.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's in a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. You need to have a good Sunak by then, don't you, Fordy?
That's what the public will want. I mean, everyone coming to that's coming out. Oh, is he going to do Sunak?
Is he going to do Sunak? Come on.
Wait,
you've got Keir sorted. But he's going nowhere, so he's fine. You've got him.
Mate, how can you ever say that in politics?
That's true, yeah.
He's going nowhere. He'll be there for a few years, won't he?
Yeah,
cut to next week. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Be careful what you say.
This is not R&R Capital Hell. This is R&R Soccer Ball with Chuck and Hank.
Yeah, in the offensive end zone. Let's play the podcast, man.
Brace yourselves. It's time for the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
Forest, of course, playing Arsenal tomorrow at Arsenal.
Big one. It's another big one.
It is another big one, but we beat Liverpool last week, as we all remember.
Exactly.
That was good.
Yeah.
Been buzzing
amazing,
about that all week.
So good, wasn't it? What a victory. And it could have been 2 or 3.
It could have been two or three. They got lucky. Well, hopefully one of today's games will leave some of you buzzing. And here he is to preview, for the first time in a few weeks, a red-hot day of Premier League football. It's Dyson.
Yes, to quote Joey Barton's tactics board, we're going to show football courage and decide to be victorious this afternoon with some red-hot Premier League action. Talking, encouraging, inspiring, uplifting, with a nice selection of 3 o'clock kickoffs ahead. Potter goes back to Hogwarts this afternoon. The Order of the Amex means Graham returns to Brighton just months after being tempted at West by Megabucks Chelsea. I imagine it'll be a bit like that scene in the final Potter film where the wizard is all grown up and he takes his own children to the train at platform 9 3/4. It'll be a bit like that, I think. Yeah, Potter appears to have blossomed and had a bit of a style makeover since moving to the King's Road. He's all neatly trimmed beard, expensive-looking knitwear and skin fades now, isn't he? But can Potterball work its magic at Brighton when he's in the away dugout? After the departure of Stevie G, Aston Villa have confirmed they will soon be saying good evening talking to former Arsenal boss Unai Emery, but for now their caretaker boss Aaron Danks stays in charge for the trip to Newcastle. Villa fans will be saying a big thanks to Aaron Danks.
Thanks for the memories.
Danker Aaron, after his first game last weekend saw them hammer Brentford 4-0. Eddie Howe's Newcastle, though, are starting a match in the top four in the Premier League for the first time since April 2012, back during Alan Pardew's reign of bogling on the touchline like a drunk uncle at a wedding. Staying with managers, and Wolves have decided to stay with Steve Davis for a bit longer, despite him guiding them to joint bottom of the table. Not quite as successful as his namesake snooker player was in the 80s, the Ginger Magician, now a house music DJ, of course, known as DJ Thunder Muscle. The Erling Haaland
of
the... It's true, yeah. The Erling Haaland of the Green Bays he was back in the day. Now the other Steve Davis has to manage the Spanish Hurricane Higgins, Diego Costa, the eccentric live wire striker, expected to be fit for their game at Brentford, against Brentford elsewhere. Palace play Southampton, and Tottenham travel to Bournemouth. Plus, we've got goals from the Championship and Rangers Aberdeen in the Scottish Premiership. It is shaping up to be a haunting Halloween weekend of rock and roll football. We have sympathy fairy Gary Neville, and we're doing the Monster Mash with Matty Cash.
Yes! Oh, Dyson, you're a genius!
I had to rush it a bit at the end there.
I know, but that's because I interrupted.
It's fine, it's fine. It's all the nature of the beast, isn't it, really?
It is. I realised when I cut in and then you sped up, I was like, oh, no, I've knocked his timing.
He's knocked me off time. I'm playing catch-up.
And, of course, Dyson, you weren't he. He's been to Corfu, hasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, it's lovely. Just towards the end of the season. You should go. You'd love it at this time of year.
I would, yeah.
There's hardly anyone there, but it was nice. Very nice. And, I didn't watch the game live because I'm not going to subject my wife and kids to watching it in a pub.
Why not?
I did.
They'd love a sports bar. Kids want to be in there. They like staying up late listening to them sorts of songs.
Yeah, they love that. No, so instead, I was watching it on my watching updates on the Sky Sports app while sat in Corfu town in an Indian restaurant, the only Indian restaurant on the island of Corfu. We fancied a change, so we went to this place called Tandoori Bites, right? So that's where I saw the Awoniyi goal go in. And just after the final whistle blew, Ted, my 3.5-year-old son, got bitten by some sort of insect. I saw it happen, and it looked like a fly. We think it was a sand fly, right? He had a massive reaction come up on his hand, and then we took him back to the hire car where he had some sort of explosive nappy incident as a reaction to his
first curry.
No, he's had curries before.
Shouldn't have given him a Vindaloo, mate. He's three. What's the matter with him?
No, it was like a weird reaction. Apparently that happens if you get bitten by a sand fly. It's the venom goes right
You know
through
what?
You.
I know. You know what? Don't use this show to like get your excuses in. You clearly took him to the pub. He got in some sort of bar fight. His hand got smashed in with an ashtray. He's got the runs because you probably gave him his first Guinness, and you got back going, this elaborate story. I didn't take him to the sports bar. No, we took him for his first curry, actually, and the sand flies attacked him.
I wish that were true.
He'd have been safer in the pub.
Yes, he would have been. You're right. Well, I think we've all learned a lesson that from
yes.
that, haven't we? That's the moral of this tale. Do take your family to the sports bar.
So you were watching it. What's the time difference with Corfu?
It's 2 hours ahead.
But still, so you were in an Indian restaurant at like...
In the afternoon. We were living it up on holiday. You know, it was lovely. It's quite busy as well. I tell you what, it's the only Indian restaurant on the island. They're lovely.
You keep saying that. Are you in their pocket or something? What did you get for free?
I didn't get anything for free. I just got... My son just got bitten. Ironically, I just realised it was called Tandoori Bites. And I wonder if that's somehow connected to what happened to it. Yeah,
that's exactly what happened.
It's weird.
Mate,
yeah.
I mean, it just seems early on holiday to be having a curry.
No, look, you know when you go to like a Greek island and everywhere you go, it's very similar cuisine.
Yeah.
And you've been there for a few days and you've had your moussakas and your souvlakis and you just fancy a little bit of a... You just want to change in
but
cuisine.
But at midday, like I get at night, you go, should we have a few beers and come for a curry? But like, we'll walk to the old town, I'll have a dip in the pool and then lamb vindaloos all around. I think if you're abroad, it feels more of a holiday thing to do, go to a sports bar, doesn't it? It feels more exotic doing it abroad than it does at home.
Yes, I know, I know. I just don't think, because he's 3.5, he's not showing any interest in football. I think I'd just be trying to entertain him all the time and miss the game. So I think it wouldn't really work, I don't think.
But he's really into sandflies now, isn't he?
Yeah, loves them. Can't get enough. Yeah.
Oh, man. But is it okay now? I mean, we need
he's
to
fine,
know.
Yeah. Yeah. He just had one. We gave him some antihistamines. You know, he had one night of, you know, a lot of nappy changing, shall we say. And then he was fine. Yeah. He's back to normal now. No,
but the bite, has he still got a paw paw? Or is he all right?
No, it went away pretty quickly. The guys at the restaurant put some sort of orange paste on it.
Restaurant, yeah.
Iodine or something.
Guys down at Mick Sports Bar, down at London Pub.
And it went away pretty quickly. The
put
bite,
some hand sanitizer on it, that'll do it. Get some Smirnoff if you haven't got that.
But yeah, and they did a great deal on 2-for-1 Red Bull and vodka, so it was great.
What was it? Double vodka Red Bull, wasn't it? Was the
yes,
late
course,
90s,
yes.
Early noughties drink
it's
of choice.
It's more Jägerbomb now, isn't it, of course? Yeah, I'm really showing my age. Jägerbomb's more de rigueur, yeah. Isn't it, when it comes to binge drinking in sports bars?
Yeah, so that's what you were drinking, was it? I'm just trying... Well, Ted was in like a 5-man brawl. Can you just imagine him now, ripped England
it's
shirt.
It's him back, Ted. It's him back.
Lobster pink arms. Got like an Italian night shirt
on. Tied up hanky on his head. Yeah.
I always think of like the French, where children are allowed like a glass of red wine when they're 14 with their meal. They're like, oh, yeah. Beaujolais Nouveau. And then Dyson's like double vodka Red Bull at 13. No wonder we've got issues as a country. Like, what? It's not even like a night. It's not like you start on vodka Red Bull and then there are like nicer versions of like aged versions of Red Bulls. Oh, you must try the vodka Red Bull 1985.
It was a vintage year, wasn't it? For taurine. Yeah.
Notes of taurine. Is that the active ingredient?
I think that's what they put in it, isn't it? That's the taurine that gives you the energy and all the caffeine.
Yeah, caffeine's got to be a big part of it, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's quite. I saw Jamie Vardy was drinking Red Bull, wasn't he, on the sidelines for Leicester City the other day? I mean, he loves it. He loves Red Bull.
But surely, like carbonated drinks aren't good for elite sport.
No, I don't think so. You're meant to have energy gels now, aren't you?
I mean, I know.
You don't want to get
no.
gassy, do you?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
You wouldn't like, Liverpool Christie wouldn't have like 2 litres of Tizer, would he?
Massive kind of Monster on the go.
I mean, that's the new one. You see people drinking it round town, they've got like litre pint cans of it.
It's so weird. Kids drink it really young as well. It's like it's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Really, you can't have a normal soft drink anymore. It's got to be a Monster if you're one of the cool kids.
Isn't that mad that things just like normal Coca-Cola is like old fashioned and tweener?
Yeah. Oh, it's just got sugar in it. That's nothing.
Come on, just have a Coca-Cola. All it does is rot your teeth. It doesn't do nothing else back to you.
Now they're like flying from the moment they get up on Monster energy drinks.
I mean, there must be.
Well, there's never a state of normal energy. You know, like they know what it feels like to have normal energy levels.
Have you given any of your children Monster yet?
No.
Do it. Let's do it live on air. How old's your oldest?
She's nearly 11.
Oh,
so, yeah,
fine. Yeah.
That's it. It's like a coming of age moment. You're 11, Bess. Happy birthday. Here's your first can of Monster.
Can we do it live on air? I mean, is this ethical?
Okay,
no, it's
when she turns 11, we'll do it. Yeah.
Okay. How soon's that?
That's at the end of the month.
Actually. Great. So just before Christmas. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Yes.
It's going to be a long Christmas in our house.
Well, yeah, but, I mean,
She's up for it.
Yeah. On Boxing Day, a can of Monster would be... I think Boxing Day is the most tired I ever am.
Yes,
just sat there catatonic, full of mashed potato and chocolate and everything.
Yeah.
Kind of Monster. It's probably a digestive, isn't it? You know, it's like when people have a Calvados or something.
Oh, yeah. Lovely digestive. An aperitif of vodka Red Bull, and then always finish the meal with a Monster. That's the way to go.
Yes, when we dine at the Ritz, we have the steak, we have the flambéed, rhumbaba, and then just
different energy drink with each course. Yeah. That's what we do, yeah.
Would you like to see the Monster pairing menu, sir? Now, I made a mistake earlier this week. Oh. I forgot that it was our producer Liam Clark's 27th birthday on Wednesday.
Oh, yes.
Sounds like you made the same mistake.
Yes, I think I did. Yeah, yeah. Happy birthday, Liam.
Happy birthday, Liam, from all of us here at Rock and Roll Football. I've even got it in my diary. I've got it in my, you know, the calendar on your phone.
Yeah.
I just must have looked at it and just obviously it didn't make... I just feel so bad about it.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Liam. We haven't forgotten your birthday. We just forgot it at the time.
Yeah.
You haven't forgotten? Who's the closest person to you's birthday you've forgotten, do you think? Never.
That's a good question. I think I haven't sent you a card in the past, unfortunately, sadly. But now you're in my diary, so I know when it's coming pretty soon, by the way.
Back yeah, off, so pal.
I feel bad because I've not sent you a card before, and you used to always get me a present, and then I hadn't got you anything, and I felt really bad. Yeah.
I mean, today's taken on a real confessional nature, hasn't it? You took your youngest on the Raz. You got in a bar fight abroad. You got banged up.
And I still have guilt from not getting you a birthday present.
And you didn't get me a birthday present
years ago.
Have you ever forgotten an anniversary?
No, that's always in the diary. You've got to put that as a repetitive one in your phone, diary.
Okay, that's interesting. So you do prefer her to me, then?
Damn, I've fallen into his trap. Well, yes, yeah, I do, you know, because I'm married to her.
Yeah. But we're married in one way, aren't we, like in broadcasting terms?
Yes, but we don't sort of cohabit, do we? I mean, we probably get on each other's nerves after a while.
I think what you mean is I'd get on your nerves.
No.
I'd be chasing you around trying to cuddle you.
But imagine the fun we'd have. Oh.
Oh, well, this has taken a turn, hasn't it? A massive earthquake of a goal in the Premier League.
A welcome home gift for Graham Potter from Leandro Trossard. Brighton 1-0 up against Chelsea after just 5 minutes.
Oh, my word. Brighton actually having a great season.
They are doing very well. Yeah, despite his departure, they managed to have weathered the storm a bit, don't they?
They didn't score against Forest at home, though, did they?
Oh, they couldn't. They couldn't.
They couldn't score against Chelsea, but they couldn't score against Forest.
Well,
that must mean we're better than Chelsea, then. I mean, that's sort of logic when you're a kid.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, like, if you beat a team higher up the league, you're like, we should swap places with them, really, because we're better than them now. And you're like, kidding yourself, aren't you, really?
Yeah, because, like, look, Liverpool beat Ajax the other night, didn't they? So we're better than Ajax.
We're European champions again, Dyson.
The glory days are back.
Well, will the glory days ever happen in Glory Hunters? So we are now supporting Bedford Town Football Club.
Yeah. What? How did it come to this? What's happened?
Well, they lost.
What's been going on while I've been away?
The teams we keep supporting keep losing, and there was a cup game, and we've now ended up in the Southern Football League. So let's go to the beautiful heart of Bedfordshire itself, Bedford.
Oh, the lovely town of Bedford. They play at Needham Market FC. That's playing today, Bedford, in the Southern Premier League Central. I'm not sure how we're going to get the scores. I think we're just going to get it through their socials, right?
Because through their socials.
They're not on my Sky Sports app, I don't think. But we'll try and find their Twitter feed, yeah. Anyway, the Eagles ply their trade at the 3,000-capacity ground called the Eyrie. What a great name, the Eyrie. I presume it was inspired by Black Grapes' England anthem from the mid-90s. England's Eyrie.
Tune.
What a tune.
It's a football thing.
It's a football thing. I live in a land of class hypocrisy.
We're going to win the national lottery. What a tune.
Yeah, I don't think so. What a song. Inspired by the Eyrie, which isn't in Bedford. It's in a small village just outside Bedford called Cardington. Cardington is home to two huge aircraft hangars. I used to live just down the road from Cardington. Lovely little village. They used to store the Goodyear blimp in these hangars.
Yeah, sorry, we are talking about Bedford. You haven't done your research.
What?
Well, tell me about Bedford. I don't know about Cardington.
Well, Cardington is where they play their games. It's more interesting than Cardington.
Why is it?
I'll give you more facts about Bedford
next week.
You know.
You blagger.
But, yeah, if we stay on them. But Cardington, right?
See, this is the problem. Oh, go on.
Well, two huge aircraft hangars that you can see from all around. They film films in there as well.
Films in there.
they do. And also famous people who live in Cardington near the Eyrie Stadium, Samantha Womack from EastEnders.
Formerly Sam Janice.
That's exactly the right person, yes. She lives in Cardington. so I was told when I lived down the road back on Shefford. And
the problem is, when I hear Samantha Womack, I immediately think of Womack and Womack.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's weird that she's got another celebrity surname.
Yes.
But like Presley or something like that. You'd be like, oh, is she now part of that?
Yeah, it's true. There's not many other Womacks that have hit the big time anyway. I think the music's ending now. We'll finish our tales from Bedfordshire. I'll hone in more on the town if they win.
Well, that's the whole point of the features, that we get to learn about places like Bedford.
You've learned about Bedford. You've learned about where they play their games.
You learned about Bedford. I've been telling them about Bedford, miss.
I just told you. Like, and that's it. I'm starting in Bedfordshire, and then we get closer into the town as the journey continues.
Do you know what? Hunters. I can see how this Corfu sports bar brawl started now. I'm not from Bedford, I'm from Cardington.
Kicking you into shape. It's the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
Wrexham, obviously, are getting a lot of publicity because they're owned by Ryan Reynolds. But one of their players this week got a lot of publicity, Paul Mullin. A lot of players customise their boots now. Ooh. I remember Carlton Cole doing this and having, you know, like a skyline on the spray painted on the boots.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. It was very, nice. A lot of them had these very cool things. But Paul Mullin went for a political statement.
Yes, yeah. What a statement it was, yeah. Wow.
Obviously, can't repeat it on there, but it was, you know, in a different form of words, and I'm sure you can remember, it was basically flip the government type thing.
Yeah, really sticking the boot to the powers
take
that be, right?
That'll bring them down, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Boris having to resign, Liz Truss having to resign, and Paul Mullin's football boots. I mean, that was the end of it.
The final straw.
The danger is, obviously, with stuff like this, is that kids will think, well, because I always wanted Puma King because that's what Stuart Pearce wore.
Yeah.
And I used to stick my tongue out when I played for. I wanted my thighs to be like Stuart Pearce's. I just wanted to be like, and I would copy stuff. Pretend to be into the same things, you know.
You could probably still do it. You know those people that have loads of plastic surgery to look like a celebrity? You could probably do that now. You could have, like, your hair made blonde and into Stuart Pearce's style. Thigh implants. You could be like
a
marvel of modern medicine.
What are those things that people have put in their bums? Like those big bum implants?
Bum implants, yeah. You could
but
have
for my legs.
Thighs.
Go abroad, come back with, like, massive thighs.
That'd be amazing. A psycho lookalike.
Went to Turkey and got me legs done, you know. Whistled a rage now, you know. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know. I'm not going to get them by working out, do you know what I mean? So, went over Liechtenstein and they've pumped me full of mattress filler or whatever it is, but they look all right. Very sore.
Oh, mate, you should do it. If you need a change in career, just become a professional Stuart Pearce, like the actual real-life Stuart Pearce.
But
amazing.
Did you ever copy a footballer?
Apparently copying footballers now is what leads to a lot of problems at school, you know.
Really?
Like the teachers say that they see footballers giving back chat to refs, and that directly leads to an increased amount of back chat to teachers in schools.
Oh, hang on. So not on the football pitch,
in the classroom.
No way.
Any authority, they're like, well, you're just basically the ref telling me what to do, and I'm not going to do it. So it's like they're just inspired by Premier League footballs. And one of my mates who's a football manager at kids level says, you know how the top level players talk, cover their mouths when they talk on the pitch? Apparently, kids do that now at like 10 and
level.
They're just doing it because they just copy the player. There's no cameras. No one needs to see what they're talking about, but they still put their hands over their mouth when they speak on the pitch.
But in the class, I mean, I get copying footballers while you're playing football, but copying footballers in other areas is... So like in the class, if the teacher taps...
problematic.
But if the teacher taps them on the shoulder, do they, like, go down holding their face?
Yeah, rolling around on the floor. Yeah, I'm sorry, I haven't done my homework. We'll have to get to VAR for a decision.
Exactly, on that French test.
Yeah.
Have you ever copied a footballer? I mean, particularly if it's in terms of a haircut, a fashion thing, or more specifically, poor behaviour. Do you remember in the mid-90s when Gazza dyed his hair blonde and loads of lads mainly did that?
Yeah, everywhere that was, wasn't it? Speaking of blonde footballers, do you remember Terry Wilson?
Yes.
He played for Forest. He wasn't a particularly glamorous player, but he had this blonde hair with a sort of wedge, number two wedge cut into the sides and the back. and I modelled my hair on Terry Wilson when I was
a young lad. I mean, you know what? How did I see a substitute player?
Yeah, like... I know. But yeah, I had blonde hair like him. And so I had like blonde curtains with a wedge at the side. And I thought, you know, cool, I look like just like Terry Wilson.
I mean, it is cool, but most people, when they're copying a football, it's like Beckham, Gascoigne, Grealish.
No, yeah.
They're like the star man. Like,
yeah.
Who's that guy? Number 35, the one who never plays. You were copying the ball boys. Going to school in like a steward's jacket, telling everyone to sit down.
The Rock and Roll Football Podcast with Matt Ford and Matt Dyson.
Bedford Town still drawing 0-0 away at Needham Market. It just makes it sound like they're kicking a ball around in the market.
I mean, it's quite a low level, isn't it? Yeah. They sound like they're doing okay, though. I mean, we really, if we're supporting Needham Market next week, it's going to be the smallest town we're backed on Glory Hunters in our history. I think it's like a little village in Suffolk.
Oh, well, you seem to know more about Needham Market than you do about Bedford.
Look, I know about all of the places in the UK. I just like to filter. I don't want to blow it all on the first show we're back in Bedford on. I've got a lot of Brentford facts to come. You just wait and see.
You just wait and see. I'll show you.
I'll show you my knowledge.
I'm surprised you didn't go for 24 hours in police custody.
Oh, right, yeah. What was that? Is that that's where it's set?
Well, it's Bedfordshire Police, isn't it? So it's predominantly Luton, yeah. But some of it surely will touch Bedford.
Well, yeah, I think it is mainly Luton, the rougher part of Bedfordshire, certainly.
What are you doing? Luton's beautiful. We have many treasured listeners in listeners.
Luton. No, it's a lovely place, but, you know, yeah. Yeah, anyway, let's...
Back out of that.
Yeah.
See, this is the problem. You get one fight in Corfu and you think you can take everyone on.
Ladies and gentlemen, very excited. It's time now. Please give it up for the Halftime Entertainment.
We're delighted to be joined by, well, a man ubiquitous in our culture, star of many films, Soccer AM, the stage, the screen, and now the radio waves. The comedian Lloyd Griffith is on tour with his new show, One Ton of Fun, and he joins us now. Lloyd, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, lads.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you on. You sound, if you don't mind me saying this, we're friends, I can say this, you sound like you're in bed.
It's Saturday afternoon, mate. I've been up for like at least an hour or so.
But have you just had a big dinner or something? You sound very slow in the mouth.
No, what do you mean slow in the mouth, mate?
Just a bit slow.
I've always been slow in the mouth.
Just sort of, you sound like you've just woken up. You sound like you're in bed.
No, oh, actually, it's quite weird. I'm walking around a pottery workshop.
What?
In the Cotswolds. I've been dragged here by my girlfriend.
I was just about to say...
I did not see that coming.
Yeah, it's like a pottery place in the Cotswolds, and then it's got some sort of like kitchen. So I'm kind of trying to lean her towards the kitchen bit so I can get on my slow mouth again.
He's just talking in hushed tones then, rather than having this just eaten slow mouth. Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Oh, no. As well as talking about your phenomenal tour that's coming up, and we love the posters for it. You sang the national anthem at the Brentford Arsenal game on the pitch. I almost said Brighton then, but it was Brentford, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was obviously an amazing thing to do, but that must have been a bit odd.
It was odd, and it was really weird. Obviously, like for domestic games, you don't sing the last anthem unless what happened, and you know, and it did. And I first sang at Blundell Park for Grimsby Town, and then Brentford got in touch, like, look, can you come and sing for our game against Arsenal? And it was. The only thing is, it's like, obviously, I've sung the last anthem being a singer thousands of times, but then the words changing is obviously, it throws you a bit, and there's no, you know, you can practice as much as you want, but just imagine someone goes, oh, we're just going to sing happy birthday, but we're just going to change the words, is that right? You're like, what?
Yeah.
And in both rehearsals, I got it wrong. When it happened, I got it right. So, yeah, quite a lot of pressure. But, I mean, it looked surreal. And I guess I can say, like, I'm now a professional athlete because I've been on the pitch, you know, with the lads.
Yeah, you played a stadium as well. Not many comedians can say that.
And, yeah, and got a standard ovation. I mean, I think, to be fair, they were clapping for other things, but, you know.
They're already stood up as well.
But they, some of them were in tears. It was, what a moment.
Yeah, they were in tears. Yeah, some of them were choked. Some of them left, actually. The minute silence afterwards was a bit, unfortunate, but, you know, it is what it is.
Are you now a national anthem singer for hire? Has this led to other work?
Yeah, if you need me for anything, I'll absolutely do it. Absolutely negotiable. But yeah, no. The thing is, I've been singing the national anthem, as I say, like, as a kid, so it's just something that happens. You just didn't think that the Venn diagram of football and singing would meet, but it absolutely has. So, yeah, it was weird. I tell you what, weird, but not to get too emotional, but it was a very emotional experience. I mean, singing, you know, and the minute silence, you couldn't hear a pin drop and stuff. So, no, it was great. It was really nice and a bit of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Obviously, somewhere where you won't be able to hear a pin drop is your hilarious tour, which starts in Newcastle on Sunday the 22nd of January. One Ton of Fun is on sale now. Are you going to sing the national anthem during the show? Is that going to be part of it?
No, well, actually, you know what? My last tour was about me trying to sing the national anthem for an England game, and that didn't happen. And then, obviously, what has happened. So this is a completely different tour. I might reference it, but, yeah, completely new jokes. A little bit of singing in there, obviously. I mean, it'd be rude not to. But like you do, not doing impressions, Matt, yes, I'll be doing...
you piece of work.
Singing.
Do you know what? I knew at the start when I said, are you in bed? I was going to get slapped at some point during this interview. I knew Griffith was going to work the body at some point during this round.
You are one of my favourite political comedians from Nottingham.
Oh... Lloyd, always a pleasure, mate. Enjoy the pottery and...
thanks very much.
The tour is on sale now. You can get tickets...
please come.
...at Lloyd's website.
LloydGriffith.com. Matt, and you. Rock and roll football.
Whoever's involved in this, stop it, because you're ruining football for everybody.
We need to correct the record. There was a VAR check on that Newcastle goal.
Yes, it was. It looked like Callum Wilson had scored just before half time. He was offside. It was denied. So it's just 1-1 half time, Aston Villa. But already there have been more goals on the south coast. Tottenham appear to have lost the plot. A second of the afternoon for Kiefer Moore means Bournemouth are beating Spurs 2-0. Unbelievable if that stays like that. And Chelsea have a goal back at Brighton. Kai Havertz has come out after the half-time team talk and pulled one back. They are losing 3-1.
Kiefer Moore, who plays for Bournemouth, is one of those people that, and I know I shouldn't, I'm 39, I'm a grown man, I shouldn't judge people on their appearances, but he's one of those people that if I saw him out in town on a Saturday night, I'd go,
Kiefer Moore.
Oh, it looks like he stinks of Issey Miyake. I bet he's drenched in aftershave.
Yes.
You know, that sort of permanently oily look. You go, I bet he wears really tight trousers.
Or heavy dupe. Multiple spray dupe. Text in if you what aftershave you think Kiefer Moore uses, by the way.
Yeah, what does he look like he smells like? Yeah, if you look like a smell... Do you know what I'd say for you? And I mean this as a compliment.
Oh, here we go. What is it? Pork scratchings or something? Is it? Yeah.
No. Mashed potato. Like, nice home cooking, I would say.
Unbelievable.
You know, you walk past someone's house and you go, oh, they smell like they're going to have a great dinner. Like home cooking.
Yes,
do you know
okay.
What I mean?
More on the gravy side than the cauliflower side. Yeah,
oh yes, yeah, yeah. Like nice roasted vegetables.
I mean, I'll take that as a compliment.
Oh, it is a compliment.
Yeah, it's really not a great one. Oh, you smell just that mashed potato. It's a lovely compliment.
And what do you think I look like? I smell like.
Well, yours is a more vegetarian. What's that stuff you use? The powdery stock stuff you use.
Bouillon.
You think of bouillon.
Do you know what? I used it for the first time this week since we talked about it during lockdown.
Really?
And it's basically, I've got a huge tub of it, like a cylinder of it, and it's kind of clumped together, but I'd run out of stock and had to use it.
Claggy bouillon.
Yeah,
I think
it might have, parts of it may have gone mouldy, but it's hard to do. I stuck it in there anyway and ate it.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
It was dead taste. Well, it's very salty, isn't it?
Yes, well, that's the sort of smell you have, though, that salty, soupy smell.
So we both basically smell like home cooking. Both of it.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could... No, you wouldn't want that as an aftershave, would you?
I think, yeah, I suppose Kiefer Moore's got a better smell, you know, than that's by the looks.
But he looks like he puts too much on, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Too much product.
Over-application is the key thing, isn't it? Yeah.
And I bet he's one of those guys. You know guys who have, like, really muscly pecs and then they wear a big V-shaped T-shirt to show off their man cleavage?
Oh, yes.
I bet he's one of those.
Yes, he has got the look of one of those, certainly.
And I bet he's got a terrible taste in music.
Oh, laying into Kiefer Moore.
Yeah, he's just got. He's probably a lovely man.
And one of the best days of his life, career-wise, he's just scored two goals against Spurs. We're just bringing him down a peg or two, making him keep his feet on the ground.
Yeah, I just I feel bad now. But I've judged him on his... I'm saying that I'm wrong to judge him on his appearance.
I always thought he was a championship-level striker, but he appears to be doing OK in the Premier League, doesn't he? He's proving his doubters wrong.
But he does look like he wears too much aftershave. We can all agree on that.
Yes, I think that's fine. And that's not really that much of a diss, is it, really?
No, they should incorporate that. So, what a goal from Kiefer Moore. It's his second of the afternoon, but he does look like he wears too much aftershave. You wouldn't want to be in a bar with him on a Saturday night, Trevor. Some of you may still play the pools or some sort of prediction game, and if you get the scores right, obviously you can win big cash dollar. But an Arbroath fan won a signed Frei Bentos pie a couple of weeks ago, which is great, but on the Daily Record website, she's like a girl in her 20s. Do girls in their 20s eat Frei Bentos steak and kidney pies?
Do. I'm not really sure. They do eat tinned pies that you can put in the oven.
Does anyone under 40 eat Frei Bentos pie?
Has anyone eaten one in the past 5 years? Surely not.
I remember once winning a prize. You know, remember Wilko's in Nottingham?
Yes, yeah.
I won an Easter drawing competition. I drew an Easter bunny and I won an Easter egg, and it was a Mars one.
Oh,
I was so excited to win. And then even as a kid... I was never into Mars, Dyson.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
I still, to this day, find it just too stodgy a chocolate bar.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a loaf of bread.
Yeah, I suppose it's a lot to take in, isn't it? You know, but you still the egg. You could have eaten the egg, sure.
Yeah. I just felt it was a pretty rubbish prize, but...
So bad you didn't even go and collect it, or did you?
I collected it. I think I may have pled my case and tried to get it swapped, but we didn't have VAR in them days.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's a shame.
Palming off their Mars eggs on some unsuspecting oik who'd won a drawing competition. Never mind. What's the worst prize you've ever won?
I once won a dove at a French table tennis tournament when I was a kid.
An actual dove?
Because I couldn't keep it because I was in France. I was like, why are you giving me a dove? But the actual bird in a box with holes in it. But that was absolutely useless.
Hang on. How old are you?
I was about 10.
And how did you win a dove?
On holiday in France, I played a table tennis tournament. I came like second, and all the top three got a bird each. they tried to give me a dove. Yeah. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it.
Did you want to keep it?
No, not really. No, it was the weirdest prize I've ever seen. I didn't even know it was a prize until given it at the end. It was weird.
Someone has tweeted us a floral patterned four slice toaster. I was 11 years old.
Oh, what?
I think it's illegal to give children toasters, isn't it?
It sounds dangerous.
Should be. Come on, Rishi, pull your finger out. Get these toasters banned.
I've never even seen one with a floral pattern on it. There's quite a few coming through on Twitter, isn't there?
Four slice for an 11-year-old?
Four slice. So dangerous.
That's like catering level.
Yeah, it is.
There are restaurants that don't have four slice toasters, and kids are getting them.
It's madness.
Matt, and you. Rock and roll football.
John's been in touch. You know John.
Oh, yeah.
He says, a couple of Christmases ago, I won a packet of seeds in a raffle at the local community centre. I mean, that's not even the gift. That's like grow your own gift.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be the last prize on the raffle.
It's like saying, oh, you've won some flowers. You're like, oh, great. Yeah, you'll have to grow them yourself.
Yeah. They'll arrive in a few months.
Great.
Providing the growing conditions are all right. Yeah.
Seeds. I mean, it doesn't even say what seeds they were. I mean, what? Rubbish. That's not a prize. That's someone getting rid of stuff. You know what? I see this around where I live a lot. People will put like a crate or a box in the street and say, oh, help yourself to some old magazines. You're like, no, you can't be bothered to put them in the recycling or take them to the tip.
It's just fly tipping, isn't it? That's what it is. They just fly tip.
Yeah.
To help yourself or take it away.
That's a really good idea, actually. Next time you fly tipping, just put a sign on it saying, help yourself to a broken ironing board and a sofa that's burnt out. Help yourself to a burnt out sofa. I'm not fly tipping. I was helping the community officer.
Yeah. It's just a loved, pre-loved, looking for a new home. Help yourself, guys.
Ross says, I once won a dartboard as a child at a Christmas party, but with no darts.
Oh, what?
How sad.
That is ridiculous, giving away half the prize. Also, Noel O'Brien on Twitter won an Embassy World Snooker Championship annual on Manchester Piccadilly Radio in the early 90s. Imagine that, giving out annuals on the radio. What a time.
Do you know what? I used to love a good annual.
Yeah, I haven't had an annual. What was the last annual you had?
You know what? This is so. I was just about to go, then I realised I got the Forest annual like last Christmas.
Ah, of course.
Private Eye, Forest, England. Maybe Private Eye and Viz. John and Jane in Shropshire. John says, my wife was sorting seeds this morning and proposed sending them to family members for Christmas. Tragic. Call her out. Jane, do not no. send people seeds for Christmas. And in the Glory Hunters game, you'll be delighted to know that Bedford have drawn 0-0.
We're stuck with them.
With Needham Market. So we're supporting Bedford again next week, by which time, hopefully, Dyson, you'll have done a bit of homework on.
I'll have Bedford facts galore, don't worry.
Kicking you into shape. It's the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
The Seance of the Living on Rock and Roll Football. Send us your questions and Matt Dyson will summon a spirit through the void to answer them.
Yes, we will see who is there. It could be anyone now, of course. Anyone living who is out there, we don't know. There's a new Prime Minister. Perhaps there's someone's been working on a new impression of him. Hopefully, I hope so. Because Denise on Twitter wants to know Rishi Sunak's thoughts on the clocks going back and forward about daylight saving time. What does he seem like think about that? Can we get in touch with him? Everyone, are you there?
Yeah.
I want to answer this question with integrity. My government will only ever put clocks forward because we don't look to the past. And I say to Matt Dyson and to the party opposite, we will only put the clocks back when the evidence suggests we should. Now, of course, we did put the clocks back a few weeks ago and we accept that was a mistake, but we've now put them forward because it was the right thing and I want to do that with integrity. Does it sound like Rishi Sunak?
It's good.
I'm not sure.
I think it's a step. Trust wasn't really working, was it? Trust was quite hard, wasn't it?
I put the clocks back because of Putin's appalling war in Ukraine. We had to put the clocks back because I wanted to go for growth.
Rock and Roll Football.
Podcast done.
What a show, buddy!
What a pleasure to broadcast by your side once again, my friend.
You know what? This is the show that picks up the ball in the end zone, throws a Hail Mary, and scores a touchdown.
Yeah, pallet packers all the way.
I'm going to get my pallet packers jersey. I'm going to flip it when I'm on Capitol Hill with a Captain Crunch. I'm just like saying alliterative American.
Love it.
I got my Dunkin' Donuts and my Captain Crunch when I'm with the Pallet Packers.
Captain Crunch is cereal, are they? I've never had them, but they're they're like those frosted Lucky Charms ones.
They're just like sugar. You might as well just pour some sugar in a bowl, pour some milk on it, and that's American cereal.
American cereal, yeah. They love it. They should make a podcast about that cereal, right?
Yeah. What do you British guys have? Just like wood shavings with soya milk or something? So, hey, I heard you got into a bust-up in Corfu. What was with that, buddy? Where's Corfu? Is that in Ireland?
I was drinking a pitcher in my favorite sports bar, but I'd like to distance myself from those rumors.
Yeah. So I can picture you now there with a three-pint pitcher of Bud Light.
Yeah.
Sat there with your Captain Crunch.
Yeah. What else? What else do they eat? Nachos. Yeah. I was eating
you got like a triple quarter pound of cheeseburger with loaded nacho fries.
Yeah. Some wings with some of that ranch dressing.
Got some waffle wings. Stuff. Captain Crunch and your palate packers. Oh,
we should go, really.
We should. I think we're just amusing ourselves. But thank you to Lloyd Griffith and for Rishi, of course. You know, everyone dropping in today. Big, big show.
Huge show. Back next week. Don't touch that dial, Hank.
Don't touch that dial. Keep it R&RF on ARFM.